Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance.
We are back, Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. As promised, we have a fantastic guest with us. Father Jeff Horton is on the phone with us. Father Horton, thank you so much for being with us today.
Glad to do it.
We decided, you had actually reached out to me, which I want to just so appreciate. I am so appreciative for and want to thank you. I know there's a lot of folks that just have concerns and anxiety and fears over what's going on with the church and with the coronavirus. And so I appreciate you being with us and having a conversation with us. And I also, before we get into it, I also want to thank you for doing the Mass via Facebook Live. My family was able to participate on Sunday. And so while it wasn't quite the same as going to church, it definitely was a blessing. So I appreciate that also.
Great. And we're continuing to stream daily Masses during the week. We switched over to Facebook on the Holy Trinity account just so that's a little easier for non-Facebook people to get to. But I want people to know, if you visit our parish Facebook page, you can find more instructions there, and we'll put the links when we go live and all that good stuff.
Awesome. So you're doing daily and weekend Masses?
Right. We haven't figured out what our weekend schedule is going to be. We're just, you know, like everything with this whole coronavirus thing, it changes hour to hour. So we're just sort of playing it by ear, but we're planning to keep going, yeah, until as long as we need to.
Awesome. Well, like I said, we definitely appreciate it. Give us your 30,000-foot view of the current situation. What are your overall thoughts?
I can give you the bottom line very simply. Jesus is still Lord.
Yeah.
We have to bear that in mind. We can be in such a panic and feed each other on all the bad news, and there's plenty of bad news and plenty of things to be legitimately worried about. But if we trust in Jesus, I'm not saying everything works out in earthly terms, because he never made that promise, but we know he's with us in all of it, and in the end, he does win.
Amen. What are your thoughts? And I guess we don't need your personal opinion, because you work for Bishop Jinky, and so so not to cause any rifts. But you know, what are just the kind of overall consensus? Obviously, we have some dioceses that aren't having Mass, and then we have some that are. And just, you know, can you kind of give us a perspective of different bishops' thought process on why we have some that are doing one and some doing the other?
And I notice every day there are more that are going ahead and closing. And I know, and I we had a day of recollection for priests just last Thursday, and Bishop Jenke and our Vicar General Monsignor Halfacre spoke to us at the end of it. They're agonizing over what to do too. We all know how important the sacraments are to people. We want to make it available. On the other hand, we're dealing with a potentially very dangerous situation, and so there's always that trade-off of what to do.
Yeah, I think. Go ahead. Sorry.
Their point of reference is, and it makes a lot of sense to me too, looking back at the Spanish flu epidemic over 100 years ago.
Sure.
And the city of St. Louis had a really good success rate because they shut down everything, including the Catholic churches initially over Archbishop Glennon's objection, and the places that didn't and waited, things got much worse. And so I think they're looking at that and just saying, the bishops who are closing are saying, we think was the best thing to do for our people. Other bishops are thinking we can do less and it'll still be okay. I don't know which the answer is.
Yeah.
I'm basically glad it's not me that has to figure that out.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. The benefit of being a peon every once in a while, right? You don't have
exactly.
to, you just have to follow orders.
I like to be a minion better than a peon.
Okay, well, we'll go with minion. You know, my wife had made a comment the other day that the Catholic Church in our diocese and in some the other dioceses that really off the bat had decided to suspend Masses were really kind of led even before like the schools decided and businesses decided. Do you know, was any of that because of the fact that it was already being suspended in Italy and in Rome? I mean, was there communication from the Vatican down to the USCCB?
If there was, I haven't heard of it. I do think that, I told people on mass this morning, this is not the flu. I've had a irritable throat for a couple of weeks now. We can look at the experience in Italy and just see they waited too long to do anything, and it is massively out of control.
Yeah.
Monsignor Sosman, who is up in La Salle Prue area, but he has friends in Italy, and one of them sent him a video. Their local newspaper usually has a page and a half of obituaries. The last edition had 10 pages.
Wow. Well, I think for people also that might not have heard, there's been, what, 7 or 8 priests that have already passed in Italy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, bad news.
Italy does have a disproportionately older population, which is more vulnerable, but still, you know, if I am a bishop, which I really honestly hope and pray I will never ever be, but if I were up there in my office and talking to people, I would just find it hard in good conscience to expose that many people to that much risk.
Yeah, I think, you know, the thing I was going to say is, you know, the third Sunday in Lent, you know, I think for most people is a lot different than the Easter Triduum. So, you know, I think it's like, okay, well, we take a couple weeks off and, you know, it's a little bit difficult, but I think Easter is probably, even for the bishops especially, is a, you know, probably a much more difficult decision. And I know some of them have already said, well, we're going to go past Easter with having suspended masses. Is that right?
I've heard that. The information that I've gotten from our own diocese is that this is indefinite and they will evaluate.
Yeah.
I am confident no one wants to avoid the Triduum if we can do it.
Sure.
But what can we do? People who are waiting to come into the church, all those questions, I really am confident that the folks in Peoria are going to go over it and are going to give us something we can run with. I've seen some dioceses who are having the Easter vigil, but only those coming into the church and their sponsors will be present, however it works out. We will do what we have to do.
Yeah.
Jesus is Lord, and there are so many things we can learn in this time that maybe, you know, I don't know why God allows these things, but maybe he wants us to learn to pray on our own, wants to bring us closer together, wants to bring us to an appreciation of the great gift that it is to have the Mass, that it is for us priests to be able to have Mass and see people and not just empty pews, all of these things.
Yeah, can you shed some light for us on, you know, I guess some positive things that we can be doing? Obviously, like I said, you're doing Facebook Live. Can you explain a spiritual communion for us, for folks that might be hearing that term?
Sure. And if you need a text for it, if you just Google spiritual communion on EWTN, you'll find a good text for that. What happens is there are often times when someone would like to be able to receive and they can't. They, you know, people who are shut-ins already, you know, maybe watching Mass on EWTN, or someone who is feeling ill and came to Mass, please don't do that. But people do it, and so they're a little worried about receiving, so you can make a spiritual communion to them. People who are in RCIA preparing for baptism and confirmation or preparing for full reception into the church, you just basically are saying, Jesus, I love you. I wish I could receive you in sacramentally right now. It is not possible. Please pour your love into my heart.
Gotcha. So this would be also the same, like if I hadn't been to confession and I wasn't going to receive, that I would
that's a little bit of a trickier state of affairs because, you know, if there's unresolved sin in your heart, it does to some degree impede Jesus' ability. But yeah, you can do the same thing.
So while we're on the topic of confession, where are we at? Those have been suspended also, is that right? Just because of the... No.
No.
Gotcha. Okay.
And as of Tuesday afternoon when we're recording this, what happens after that? Who knows? The diocese does urge us to ask people to go to confession behind the screen, not out of anonymity, but that's a physical barrier between you and the priest.
I saw a picture, I think it was on Facebook, of a priest doing drive-through confessions.
Yeah, I've got a friend down in Alabama who's going to do confessions on his front porch, he thinks.
So I was going to ask.
They have better weather than we do.
Yeah, well, that's true. Of course, depending on how long this goes, we might, you know, we might end up having better weather than them as it gets hotter and more humid.
There is, as people have been asking, is it possible to do it over the phone?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Is there a requirement for the physical presence one-on-one? Or
there is. Mike Schmitz has a good Ascension Press video on why confession has to be face-to-face. I put it up on the Holy Trinity Facebook page, and I think somebody might have actually put it on your page, too. If not, you can go looking for it. But there really is. Sacraments are material things.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's, you know, it's receive actual something that looks like, has all the properties of bread and properties of wine, even the body and blood of Christ. And baptism, we pour with water. And there's just something about the necessity of the immediate physical presence.
Gotcha.
I have heard confession in jail when they're on the other side of the glass and we're talking through the phone. But that's still close enough. It just,
sure.
You know, me hearing your confession now, the church has been asked about this repeatedly ever since phones became available. And it just said, no, it can't be done.
Gotcha. What
if someone really is upset about something they've done and can't find a place to go to confession, do your best to achieve what's called perfect contrition. That's you're sorry for what you've done, not simply because of your fate of the punishments, but because you know you have harmed God or offended God, whom you dearly don't want to offend, just like you don't want to offend other people you love. And that, coupled with the fact you would go to confession, if you could, will suffice to cleanse your soul. It doesn't get you out of going to confession when the opportunity becomes available, but it means you don't need to sit there at home and worry.
Gotcha. What I told you, I had messaged you again after the Facebook Live and had said that, you know, I was kind of thinking about it as we were doing the Mass as we were participating as a family at home, and we were standing and kneeling and, you know, doing the responsorials and everything. Now, we might have been in pajamas still.
The video feed only went one way.
Yeah, I said to my wife, I go, now this only goes one way, right? And she's like, yeah, of course it does.
Yep.
I'm like, all right, well, I'll keep my robe on then. But I did think about it, you know, as we were going through the Mass, and I was kind of reflecting, and you know, I think, and this is something I had shared with you, is that I think that there might be a silver lining in that. You know, the kids see us have to really kind of jump through some hoops in order to continue with our faith. And, you know, maybe there's a struggle on your end with the video or the audio or the, you know, whatever. And there's a struggle kind of on our end with getting it ready to go and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, maybe there is that benefit to them to say, hey, this is really something that's important. And we do sometimes have to take the extra step in order to continue to be in community with one another and participate as best as we can in the sacrifice of the Mass. And so hopefully there's some silver linings there.
Yeah, and I think of our brothers and sisters around the world and across time, even in, you know, day-to-day affairs, like in Africa, where maybe you get a priest once a month because he has so many places to go, or people in times of oppression where Mass is celebrated secretly. And I think one of the dangers, and Jesus knew this when he set things up, but we become too familiar, too accustomed to thinking, oh yeah, Mass, I got to go. This could help us realize what we've been kind of taking for granted all these years.
Yeah, I mean, really, what more of a fitting time than during Lent to kind of be in that desert of the sacraments.
Speaking of Lent, I told people the very last Mass I celebrated in public was Saturday morning, and I kind of went, mostly left the scriptures behind just because this needed to be talked about. Left the scriptures behind sounds bad. You know what I mean? It was talking about something else.
Yeah.
Remember the March for Life a couple of years ago when they had the big blizzard and everybody had to go home early?
Yeah.
What I told the students on our bus was, you thought when you were going on the March for Life, you knew the sacrifices you were going to make. We were going to go overnight on a bus. We were going to be inconvenienced and wake up early and eat junk food. They probably didn't mind the junk food part, all of that stuff. Sacrifices we ended up making were different. And so you might have had wonderful plans for what was going to happen this Lent. I gave up Facebook, and that just is not practical under the circumstances, but the Lord has given us something else to do. We don't always get to choose what we're going to do for Him. Sometimes He says, this is what I need you to do. And what He needs for us to do right now is do the best we can, offer up that pain people really do feel for not having easy access to the sacraments. I think all of our priests' hearts are breaking. You guys are our families, and we can't feed you the way we wish we could.
Yeah, and I think, you know, maybe there's a lot of us, especially if we're, you know, if we're not going to work or we have the kids at home or whatever, and we have some more time, maybe to your point, this Lent, instead of giving things up, we're really being called by God to do more, to read some Catholic books or, you know, pray more with the family, do an extra rosary or do one rosary if we're not doing them currently, you know, with the family. And again, hopefully we find those silver linings through this struggle that we're going through and, you know, we can do more.
Yeah, I encourage anybody who listens to this, if you know somebody who's shut in, doesn't get many visitors, can't go visit them, probably shouldn't visit them, but call them, keep in touch. You know, there's that icon on your phone that looks like a door handle, and if you touch it, you can actually call somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really important to reach out, and mentioning the rosary made me think of it. You know, if you've got friends, you can all get together and do a joint FaceTime call and pray the rosary together with each other. Just make sure, part of our obligation, not simply as human beings, but especially as Christians, is to look out for each other, to make sure we don't get isolated, to look for the people who are going to be in special need because of this, and then go out of our way a little bit or a lot to reach out to people who need to be reached out to and to bring us closer together.
Absolutely. Well, again, we so appreciate you and all the other priests here locally and obviously throughout the world and all the extra things that you guys are having to deal with and go through in order to do your best to continue to try to feed us physically and spiritually through the sacraments and through things like Facebook Live. For folks that want to participate as best they can, you said go to the Holy Trinity Facebook page, is that right?
Holy Trinity Facebook page, Historic St. Patrick's Facebook page. There's also a Father Jeff Horton Facebook page. It's got Obi-Wan Kenobi and Lego, so that's saying you've got the right one, and it's all there.
Perfect. Well, again, we so appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. Can we have you stick around to do the gospel with us real quick?
Sure.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We've been talking with Father Jeff Horton from Historic St. Pat's and Holy Trinity. Again, we want to thank him. And hope everybody is enjoying their Coronatine 2020 and it's not taking you away from Lent and away from the Lord, but bringing you closer. So we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and do the gospel reading for this weekend.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
We are back, Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. Father Jeff Horton is still with us from Historic St. Pat's and Holy Trinity. Again, Father, thank you for being with us, and thank you for all the extra things that you've been doing with Facebook Live and everything to keep the sacraments coming our way during this desert of Lent that we've been kind of pushed into.
I'm glad to do it, and I want to throw out extra thanks to all kinds of people. You know, the priests and the deacons get to be on screen or have to be, whatever you want to look at it. But there's a lot of other people helping us out and making these things happen. So I want to
give
credit to them too.
My kids asked, I didn't recognize is that the chapel at the Newman Center or where were you?
The one on Sunday was the chapel at the Newman Center.
Okay.
We're now mostly going from the chapel in the Parish Center at Holy Trinity.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, we saw that and they're like, where's he at? That's not Holy Trinity. I'm like, well, I saw the sisters that were there with you. And so I thought that that's probably where that was at, but yeah, we do appreciate everyone that's helping you with that. It's a unfortunate thing, but I guess a great calling to be able to continue to use technology to at least bring people, you know, as close as we can get. And
I've been a computer nerd since way back, so my skills are coming in very handy.
There you go. See, God was preparing you all those years ago.
Yep.
All right, let's hop into the gospel. It's a long one. It's from John chapter 9. We have verses 1 through 41. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Someone said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on the Sabbath. So when the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see, he said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked him, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already and you did not listen. What do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin and are trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." The Gospel according to John. Man, that one's packed full.
Yes, it is. The Year A Gospels for weeks 3, 4, and 5 are specially intended for the RCIA scrutinies. So they're aimed in particular at people who are on their way into the church preparing to receive
baptism or confirmation, first communion, any or all of the above. And so it's sort of setting out challenges in front of them. Next week is going to be the resurrection of Lazarus. But, excuse me, there are first thing right up front that I really think we need to take from this is the question, whose fault is it that this man was born blind? And I haven't seen them, but I'm sure they're running around on the internet and elsewhere, people trying to figure out who God is showing his judgment on through this coronavirus epidemic. And I am not going to say this is not in some way God acting in judgment. What I am saying is the most important thing for us is not to figure out who else it's aimed at, to say, what in me is God inviting, not God is insisting I need to change? How is this drawing our attention to things that we should have been paying attention to all along?
Right.
And so these things, why does this happen to the man? It's not his fault. It's not his parents' fault. It's so that the works of God may be made manifest. Maybe there is something in our current situation that God wants to show really powerfully what's up. And so that's one of the things we can look for. Another thing that struck me, when Jesus heals the man, and there are situations in the Gospels where he does just say, be healed. But this man, he spits on the ground, makes clay, and rubs it on his eyes. And we were talking in the first part about how confession had to be in person because of that material aspect. And here we have Jesus again using something very physical and very material to bring healing to this man.
Right.
So that sort of underlines a little more why that's there. But as I told you during the break, this man born blind is really one of my favorite people in all of Scripture. He knows what he knows. And every time someone challenges on it, he says, this man, I was blind, he came to me, he healed me, and now I can see. And he knows what he doesn't know. They say, well, where did he come from? I don't know. How does he work these things? I don't know. How can he work them if he's evil? He can't be evil. He does miracles. And even when his parents throw him under the bus or under the chariot or whatever it would have been back then, he's persistent. I'm sure he's sad that his parents won't back him up, but he knows what happened and who did it to him. And in fact, he gets more and more persistent along the way. Toward the end, you know, he's in their faces. Are you going to become his disciples too? Why? What are you guys not listening to? What are we not listening to with Jesus? What has he been trying to tell us all along? What has he done for us? And we keep not noticing, not knowing what he's done. The Pharisees at the end saying, are you calling us blind too? And Jesus says, those who, if you knew you were blind, you would be forgiven. What are our blindnesses that we don't recognize, that we don't want to admit, that we don't know? Things that we don't notice. Just the man born blind is such a strong example of persistence and openness to learn and knowing who he is and coming to know who Jesus is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's I probably keep going for a whole lot longer, but my throat will give out on me again.
So. Well, I think I was just going to say the one other thing too that I think for me is special to note is that, you know, the blind man encounters Christ and Christ, you know, rubs the spittle on his eyes and then tells him that in order to be able to see, he has to go, still blind, but he has to go and wash in the well.
That's true. He has to have the trust to do it.
Yeah.
To believe that it's actually going to make a difference.
Yeah. And so I think a lot of times we have to be reminded that, you know, while we might not feel like we're heard immediately in prayer or when we have encounters with Christ and that we're called to have those encounters, but then still continue in faith and trust to walk walk blind for some period of time until we're eventually healed through that experience. So sometimes things happen in God's time and not necessarily in our time, but we have to have that faith.
Yeah, and he, you know, the man, let me point that out, the faith that he's continuing to show, he had the seed of it right there. It would have been easy. I think yesterday's mass reading was Naaman who came to Elisha to be healed. Or Elisha, however you say it. I got an argument over that. I don't know the right answer. But he tells him to wash in the River Jordan and he'll be healed of leprosy. And Naaman says, there are perfectly good rivers back home. Why do I have to wash in the Jordan? That's stupid. Fortunately, one of his retinue talks him into doing it anyway, and he is healed. So is that taking
Lord, I don't understand why I have to do it this way, but I know this is the way you have set out. And so back to the communion via phone thing, spiritual communions aren't quite the same as the actual communion because God has asked us to really receive his body and blood, and so we have to hunger and thirst for it. By the way, there are adoration times around town.
Oh, okay.
And receive communion. Check parish websites. Again, what I tell you now might not be the case by the time this runs on the air. But just we do trust that God gives himself to us, just not always in the way we expect, and as you say, in the time we expect. But he's calling us always to deeper and deeper faith.
Awesome. Well, again, Father, we so appreciate it. We appreciate you being with us today and for continuing the hard work that you and all the other priests in town are doing. So again, Father Jeff Horton has been with us, and again, a huge thank you. And you have been listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.
You've been listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance. Download our podcasts at CatholicSpiritRadio.com.